We're very, very excited that we have with us Vicky Thorne. Vicky is the founder of Project Rachel and the executive director of the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Her work has led her to research how people fall in love and bond to each other. She explains how her findings, especially related to hormones, affect human behavior and relationships. She is a trauma counselor, spiritual director, and a prenatal loss and bereavement facilitator. And she's also a great speaker, and we're glad to have Vicky with us here tonight.
Myself organized here, so bear with me for a minute. As we come together tonight, I think I want to warn you that you may hear things you've never heard before that may sort of take your breath away. I was talking to a couple of people who have heard me before who are here tonight, and that was their description. So, be prepared. This talk is really the biology that supports the theology of the body, okay? And we live in a society that has lost respect for how we were made as human beings. And some of this, in terms of our sexuality, started with the advent of the pill in the 60s. Now we could control our fertility. And then, of course, we needed abortion because we couldn't always control our fertility, and that baby, that wasn't one we wanted. And it's continued, all right? We have become more and more mobile. We no longer have family support systems who are there to speak the truth to us or to let us just kind of work our way through the questions we have. And it continues. Now we are in the whole question of you know, what gender am I? And becoming more and more gender neutral. You know, people, you each have a brain, and I am telling you that it's a male or a female brain, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry, it's just how you got made by God. But for us to be aware of the pressures of society on our young people is really critical, because the movement is more and more to dehumanize sex, really to do away with love. Okay, it becomes a body function. I forget what the final number is now. We're at something like 50 different gender types, or, you know, I don't even know what all they are, and nor do I know what they would be if I did know what they were, okay? But this awareness of the necessity of reclaiming how God made us, and for us to be able to share with other people, that's so important. I was just sharing with somebody who was talking to me out in the hall out there, that I had been at I went to a college to speak, and I was out on the East Coast. And before I began, this young man came up to me, and he said, "I just want you to know I've heard you talk four times." I said, "Really? Why?" "Because I hear something different every time. It's really good stuff." And he turned around and he went away, and I didn't know if he was in the room because it was a full, like a gym sort of thing. And afterward, I'm walking with two women across this little walk bridge, and here is the young man giving my talk to another young man on the other side of the bridge. And I thought, awesome. That's what I would hope that would happen with this material, that we can share it with other people. And you can always blame it on me, all right? I heard this woman, and she said, okay, that's fine, okay? But there are ways that we can interject this material when we talk to people, There are ways that as women, and I encourage, let me say the women first piece first here, we need to be mentoring young women. We don't have mentors anymore. We don't even have our mothers many times because we're so mobile. We're mothers in Florida and we're up here. That opportunity of women to be together. Women who spend time with women have their stressors drop like a rock. And they get good chemistry of feeling really good about themselves just by being with other women. All right? In the olden days, we spent a lot of time with other women because we watched each other's children. We might be canning, we might be milking cows, whatever. But there was that community of women who supported each other. That's missing now in many places, and we need to reestablish it. And for you men, your presence as older men to younger men is critical because you help to set their testosterone level. Many of our young men do not have fathers in their lives. If they don't have a father when they're going through that adolescent growth spurt and hormonal, you know, craziness, their testosterone is off the chart. They do stupid things, all right? I encourage you who are mature men to befriend some of those younger men. Do guy things, go fishing, go hunting. Ask them if they'll help you fix something. Because we need that interrelationship across generations to settle our chemistry, not only our psychology. And as people of faith, that's part of our call from Jesus, is to be part of a community, to establish communities. Jesus had his friends. He used to go off up to the mountain or someplace else with the apostles and just hang out and pray, just be for a little while. We need, as a faith community, to establish those kinds of relationships, okay? In your neighborhood, if there's a new family, go meet them, okay? Maybe take them supper or invite them to your house for supper. We need that connection of people without expectation. Because so often, the people we know, there's a heavy expectation. It's through work, it's through some other organization. That presence of people together who share, you know, we might share a belief system. Well, maybe we don't. But maybe we are called to do some witnessing, not heavy, but just gentle. Yeah, you know, we're Catholic. We've grown up Catholic, or I'm a convert, or whatever our story is. You never know when your story is going to touch somebody else's heart. And I encourage you not to be afraid to share that, okay? It's important. We live in a world where we don't have stories anymore. We have internet. We have cell phones. And we are not talking to each other anymore. We aren't talking. People do not have conversations like they used to have. And so, again, I encourage you to think about ways that you might be able to make some of that happen. You know, just have some women over for coffee. A couple couples in the neighborhood over for dessert. And just be, okay? One of the things that my husband and I did some years ago, we had lived abroad for a year, and when we came back, we had a real need for other couples. And so we started a couples prayer group. Met once a month at somebody's house, somebody brought dessert, and somebody led prayer. But the prayer was basically spontaneous prayer. We prayed about our families, we prayed about infertility, we prayed about our parents, we prayed about friends. Those bonds, all these years later, even though we don't live by each other anymore, are still there. When we are together, when we see each other, it's like that grace of having prayed together is still there. And so I encourage you to think about doing that too. And people are like, that's strange. Not so strange. You know, wouldn't you just like to come over? We're just going to have a couple other women over, and we're just going to pray about stuff that's important to us. You'd be surprised at how many people would come, okay? So as we talk about this, there's a lot of material here. I'm going to do my best to condense it. I will tell you that there are a number of my talks that are on YouTube. and so you can find it. I never give exactly the same talk twice. And just so you know, you're not getting the standard talk tonight at all, because my folder with my normal notes has vanished. I found a bunch of other ones. I mean, we'll be fine, I assure you of that. But it was like, okay, I guess it's supposed to be a different talk tonight. So that's what you're going to hear. As we gather here, we need to know that as men and women, we're different. Did you get that? We live in a society of gender neutrality. We're all the same. No, we're not. That's not how God made us, all right? Men and women have different brains. Did you know that? Men's brains, for the most part, tend to be very... If I had a board up here, I'd be drawing a box and a series of boxes within it. Men have an amazing ability to focus and stay focused. All right? So you would move through all those little boxes to get to your conclusion. It also means, however, it's hard to distract you when you're in that mode. All right? And there is one of those boxes that's empty. And it's always interesting because when I draw it and I ask the men what they know about that box, they go, it's empty. We can just sit and think about nothing. We women cannot sit and think about nothing. But when we're with our partner, we need to make sure he's attuned if we're talking to him, okay? Because he might be in his empty box, in which case he's not tuned in, okay? See, you know that box. I knew you did. We need to know that women, if I was going to draw a picture of our brain, it would be a circle. And there are many things that we can keep going at the same time. Now, I think one of this pieces had to do with the fact that men were hunters and fishermen and were away as part of the community long ago. So we lived in our village. The men all left and went away, went hunting, went fishing. They had to be single focused because if they got distracted and a big critter was coming, he might not come home. All right? It was a matter of self-preservation, and that's how God made them. We women were in the village. We were interfacing with our children, with our house, with issues of food, issues of safety, issues of other people in the community. Now, one of the things that I find very interesting that I bet some of you don't know is that if we women are in community with other women and we are not chemically contracepting, within 3 months, we will come into menstrual synchronicity, which means we'll get our periods at just about the same time. All right? There's usually a dominant female, but nobody seems to know how to decide who that is. But there's somebody in there that's the dominant female. Okay, everybody is moving with her. Okay. The reason for this long ago was that if we all had our children at the same time, and one of us died, someone could nurse our baby. We didn't have bottles. We didn't have formula. The babies depended on mother's milk. And that was one of the purposes in God's creation in terms of menstrual synchronicity, was that we could feed each other's babies. We don't talk about that. And now what's happened with all the advent of all the chemical contraceptives that are out there is that women's cycles are all messed up. And I will say a little more about that in a minute, but that awareness that we don't cycle together anymore because people are on the pill and other things, and women will tell me who are not contracepting, especially like women in college, how hard it is for them because their cycle is a mess. And it's because there's this communication going on amongst women, but it's not going on in the fashion that it should because it's being messed with in terms of the chemical contraceptives that are out there. Okay? So this question of men and women, we need to be appreciative of the fact that God made us differently, with purpose. Okay? And not to be in this other position of, well, men should be more like women and women should be more like men. That's a false premise. That isn't how God made us. And we need, excuse me, to be much more conscious of those sorts of things, okay? Again, men, please, make a point of doing things with young boys and young adolescent men. If they don't have fathers, and many of our sons don't, their testosterone is way too high, and they are going to do really stupid things throughout adolescence and early adulthood. Okay? They're too aggressive, they're too sexually charged, and there isn't the it's really protection that the older men give to the younger men by helping to set their testosterone where it should be. And ironically, these guys who have this super high testosterone when they're young, when they get older, their testosterone is really low. Okay? Nature didn't take care of what needed to be taken care of here. Okay? We need to know that as men and women, we communicate differently. Men speak about 7,000 words a day. Women speak about 20,000. Men tend to talk about specific, measurable things. We women tend to emote and talk about lots of emotional things. Okay? Just a difference. It's neither good nor bad. It's just different. And to appreciate that, again, about each other. Okay? There are many things that I want to cover here, and we've got kind of limited time, but one of the things that we need to know is that there's also a communication system that we're not conscious of, and that is something called pheromones. Pheromones are scent molecules of affiliation that are perceived by two little bumps here in the septum of your nose. The purpose of pheromones is about relationships. All right? All kinds of relationships. We would recognize by scent a sibling, a relative that we didn't know we had. And there'd be this kind of draw there. When we pick our partner, if we are not contracepting, we are attracted to a male whose immune system is a complement to ours. There's not much that's in common except for a little part of it that is related to our father's immune system. That's the possibility of fertility. But when we are chemically contracepting, and I keep coming back to this, and let me say, as a society, the numbers of people who are chemically contracepting are unbelievable. Our daughters get put on the pill at 12, 13, 14 to regulate their cycles, to take care of their acne. They have cramps. We're messing with a body system that's not even mature. And we're not sure about the long-term implications, because one of the things we have now discovered is that women who go on contraceptives young, by the time they're 30, their fertility has waned. Their ovum are old and their ovaries are shrunk. That's a serious problem, because that didn't used to be the case. We were fertile into our 40s. Okay? This has messed with our bodies. And we need to be aware of that. So if I am chemically contracepting, the man I am attracted to is a man whose immune system is very much like my father's or my brother's. That's not a fertility possibility, people. You're looking for a protector. You're not looking for a mate. And that's very important, because what happens, we fall in love, and it's not that these are bad men, it's just that this is the wrong chemical combination. We fall in love, we get married, we go off the pill because now we want to have children, and he smells terrible to us, adverse, nails on a chalkboard, because nature's saying he's the wrong match. 80% of divorces in our country are started by women. What's that about? Okay? Because I think this is part of what that's about. And the need to be able to really respect our fertility, respect how God made us, is important. And, you know, this is a politically incorrect talk. You have seen that already, okay? It ain't going to get better. But that awareness that is, as mothers with our daughters, when the doctors want to put them on the pill, we may have to say no. We have to understand that there are some serious issues here involved in those contraceptives in terms of blood clots, in terms of migraines, in terms of certain cancers. The fact that I picked the wrong partner if I'm on the pill. And has anybody bothered to tell you that as a woman, if you're on the pill for a while, your brain grows like a male brain? It's no longer a female brain. It's got the different parts where male brains are larger. Where's the feminine genius in that? Nobody tells us. And it's important. If we go off, it will eventually come back. Okay? But nobody has told us this. And nobody has told us this in light of our children. And many years ago, long, long time ago, I was briefly on the pill. The doctor put me on it for cramps. Okay. None of this stuff was known at that point. The pill hadn't been on the market that long. And I had the worst migraines in the world. I had never had migraines before, and I was just so, so wiped out by them. And for some reason, I ended up going to a doctor who wasn't my doctor one day. And I told him about these headaches, and he said to me, "Are you on the pill?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Get off it now. You're a stroke risk. You could die tomorrow." Scared the bejeebers out of me. I listened to him. But over the years, that's what triggered my interest in this. Why aren't we told? Nobody tells us. Okay, the amount of money that those pharmaceutical companies make is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. So this awareness that we as women, our bodies, you know, develop over time. And as I said, the pill can interfere with those years when our body should be making the chemical adaptations during our teen years. Okay. We need to know that from age 11 to 19, our brain is not working properly. It is in a fear, fear, flight, fright mode. It is not in a well-formed logical mode because that's developing. And from 19 to 25, the remaining part of our brain is still developing. We aren't in a position to be making good decisions then. And yet we say to our young people, "Oh, you know, at 11 you can decide you want to be in the pill. We don't have to tell your mom or your dad. It's no big deal." But the awareness is that we're interfering here biochemically with an awful lot of stuff that has gone on. And we see incredible numbers of, again, as I said, of types of cancer, strokes. One of my daughter's best friends collapsed on a college campus as a senior, filled with blood clots. They rushed her to the hospital. She had been on the pill for health reasons. She was not sexually active. And the pill killed her. She died a few days later from her stroke. That incensed me. That shouldn't have happened. That was an incredibly gifted, beautiful young woman. And nobody told her parents. Nobody told her that this was even a risk. Okay? So for us to be conscious of these things is an important, important piece. Okay? Now, as women, okay, we have a uterus. We have our ovaries. We have our fallopian tubes. I would sort of be drawing this for you at this point. Okay? Ovaries, fallopian tubes, uterus. We have to know that God made us again with purpose. Our period is to clean our uterus every month. And there are three spiral arteries there that never clot. And their purpose is to help clean the uterus. When it gets time for our period, they screw themselves shut, turning off the blood supply, which triggers the release of the lining of the ovary, or excuse me, of the uterus, and then they turn themselves back on, and that's our period. Remarkable. We alternate, for most part, month by month, as to which side we're ovulating on. Okay, there'll be about 10 follicles that develop. There's usually only one or two that complete. I want to say to you that there are a lot more twins conceived than we ever know, but one in four of us may well be a twin, because very early on that other baby is lost. But I want to say something else to you. As women, we carry cells from every child we ever conceive the rest of our lives. every child. And if it is a miscarriage or it is an abortion, we carry more cells from those children the rest of our lives than we do from our birthed children. And the children who come after carry cells from the previous children conceived. Not born, conceived. If you have older siblings, you have their cells. As mothers, we have the cells of our children and our grandmas and our moms. Those cells are important because these are cells of our mate, and we chose that mate when we were not contracepting, those cells seem to help keep us healthy because they're everywhere in our body. They're in our brain, they're in our uterus, they're in our legs, they're in, you know, every place. If there's something like cancer, they gather like they're trying to do something about it. And sometimes those diseases disappear without explanation. If, on the other hand, I was contracepting when I married, the cells of those children are different and may well contribute to disease because there wasn't that opposite connection to the father. The cells are very much alike. That's important for us to be aware of, that we carry, this is called microchimerism, that we carry these cells. How awesome is God that there is this connection, okay? And that piece of it, all of us carry some part of the cells of our mother, of our grandmothers and our mothers, okay? For you men, you carry the cells of your father, father's grandfathers, on and on. That's the Y. We women have two X's. Identical twin girls do not have identical bodies because those two X's randomly assort themselves in the body. You men have the X of your mother and the Y of your father. And that's why, pay attention, you guys are the weaker of the two sexes. You're much more susceptible to diseases and to things like cancer because you don't have that extra X to help, okay? More baby boys die in utero at birth in the first years of life than girls, okay? But interestingly, we have an issue in our society because now we have we're aborting children and tipping the what should be a balance here, okay? In some cultures, baby girls are being aborted, in some Asian cultures. And there's a serious problem now because there are no wives available to the men. And the culture does not know what it's going to do because it's not going to reproduce the way it should. So for us all to be, you know, aware of that, okay? The question about our bodies as women working, you know, to know we're capable of producing milk for our babies. That's an awesome thing. Because guess what? We're giving them all kinds of immunity that they don't get from a bottle. Stuff nobody tells us, okay? And we need to know that men have, you know, your bodies are also unique in how God made them. That when we as men and women are in relationship by scent, that business I talked about with your nose, all right? You men know when your wife is fertile. Did you know that? Your body changes. You're much more sexually interested. You're much more arousable. All based on scent, recognizing that she's in a phase of her fertility. When we women are fertile, we dress to impress. A little better with the makeup, a little better with the clothes, a little more décolletage, because our body, we're communicating, okay? What's happened, again, with chemical contraceptives is that many men are flatlined now. They are not in a dance with their wives. Even if their wives have a bleeding episode while on contraceptives, it doesn't mean she's ovulating, okay? So that scent factor is not there. And we have seen that men turn to what? Pornography. There's an epidemic of pornography. Because there isn't that natural arousal factor that should be there every month. And again, for us to speak about this, We also know that we have a problem with all the estrogen, and it's not, this is a problem because it's really a pseudoestrogen, okay, that's in our water system. Well, how did it get there? Well, we women were taking the pill, you know, and I don't know if you know this or not, but your body excretes that estrogen into the water, and it is not removable. We do not know how to get the chemistry of contraceptives out of the water systems. We have serious issues now, for instance, with fish that are bisexual. Frogs. We don't know what to do about it. We can get just about anything out except that. And what is that doing to our children, to our young boys, to our young girls, who are getting large doses from our water? I mean, you drink water every day. What's that doing to our systems? It's messing with them in very, very serious ways. Okay. For you men, you know, again, this dance that you're in with the woman in your life. For men, there are three types of sperm. There are egg getters. There are killers, and there are, and I just forgot the middle word. I apologize. This is my stroke speaking at the moment. But the role of the ones in the middle is to create blockages in our women bodies so that the egg getters can get through. The problem with the killers is that they're not usually active unless we've had multiple partners in a short period of time, in which the killers of all the males we have had intercourse with are activated, and it is their job to kill off the sperm of the other guy so that theirs fertilizes the ovum. It can create horrendous infections in women. Horrendous infections. Again, nobody's told us this stuff. But for men to be aware of how important your fertility is, that of all those sperm that go in, thousands, millions, there's only one that the ovum is going to say, hey, you, I want to talk to you, okay? And then there's this whole process of change that happens that now makes that sperm capable of entering the ovum. Very limited space, the tail falls away, okay? And now we have a new person growing. But again, the awesomeness of the and the miraculousness of this is so important to understand that. To say to our children, the reason you don't want to mess with pot and other assorted drugs is that it messes with your sperm. Okay. Seriously. That is a big deal. And again, nobody tells us this. You know, it's all supposed to just be, it's just there, it's no problem, we don't have to worry about it, all those sorts of things. You know, we have to just recognize how phenomenally complexly we're made, okay? For us women, very briefly, in the course of a cycle, in a month, we go from our period to what's called the follicular phase, where the follicles are forming that are going to become the ovum. Then we have ovulation, and the hormones trigger one or two of the eggs to be released, okay? And they're moving down. And if we've had intercourse with our partner, the sperm is there. And very interestingly, one of the things that's fascinating about a woman's body is depending on which of the two ovaries ovulated, if she's had intercourse with her partner, her uterus will tip a little. Sort of point them in the right direction. Amazing. Who would have thought that? And then at the end, we have this, the last stage, which is the luteal phase, and that's when, if there's been a conception, our body is protecting that. The place where the ovum came forth continues to secrete hormones necessary for implantation. And all of those pieces, again, are so incredibly complex. God made us in such a truly miraculous way. And I want to say something else to you. When we're pregnant, the myth is that our mother's body is in charge. Wrong. The baby's in charge from the beginning. As that baby implants, the chemistry of connection is there. And what passes is about 100%. We used to think it was sort of a barrier, you know. So if we had chemistry in our body, it wasn't going to impact the baby. Well, that's wrong. It's full passage back and forth. The baby triggers birth. We're part of it, but the baby triggers birth. The baby hears our voices. It's important when we have, if you have sons that are becoming fathers, insist they spend time with that newborn, because the newborn needs to see them and smell them, because there's bonding that's happening. The baby knows the mother's voice. The baby knows mother's smell, all of that. But the baby only knows father's voice. And so those first 12 or 14 hours after delivery, it's important for the father to hold that baby, to cuddle that baby, to be really physically present. Because the baby's learning who its father is. Again, marvelous. We didn't, you know, we also live in a society where we sort of poo-poo men in terms of pregnancy. Oh, well, you know, once the baby comes, wrong. By 4 weeks into the pregnancy, that's before we women know we're pregnant, our scent has changed because of those cells from the baby. And the man in our life recognizes the scent, and his body is triggered into an avalanche of change that lasts until after the baby is born. He gets cortisol to protect. As he gets closer to the time that the baby is going to come, he gets all kinds of other chemistry. Hold on just a minute here, because I just want you to hear this. Okay. He gets testosterone, which decreases. Estrogen. Oh, that's a woman hormone. Yep, he gets estrogen. Helps to make him more gentle, more caring. Cortisol to protect. Vasopressin, which is a bonding hormone. Prolactin, oh, that's the nursing hormone. He's got it for at least 6 weeks after the baby comes. His brain cells are changing, and his testosterone after birth will never again go as high as it was when he was a bachelor. Men are in the dance, and they are biologically, psychologically, and spiritually changed by the gift of new life. And we need to talk about that, because our fathers don't know this. And because abortion is such a huge issue in our country, men are told, sit down, shut up, it's none of your business. You know, if the baby comes, then you can be a dad. No. He's a father from the beginning. And this communication between them biologically is there. And his body knows. His body knows. So those are important things for us to really keep in mind as we go through this. Also to know that many men, 60 to 90%, will have symptoms of pregnancy with their wives, okay? 20% of them will be pretty sick, okay? And we laugh about that. It ain't funny if you're the guy who's throwing up and feeling really bad, okay? But to acknowledge that this is nature's way of preparing him, because the guys who are the sickest are the ones who bond the quickest. Okay, I don't know how God made this, but it works that way, okay? Now, a couple things, and then we'll be done here, because we only have about 5 minutes left. I just want to talk about some of the things that contraceptives do to us, because contraceptives are really about breaking the male-female bond, okay? I don't know that it was intentional in terms of the doctors who developed this, but I think it was intentional in terms of the devil, that this is something that can be so, so destructive in terms of our health and well-being, okay? So, some of the things here that we're aware of, okay, that change in pheromones. So if I'm on the pill, I pick the wrong man, all right? The change that's preferred in women that are showing photos of men when women are on the pill and they're showing pictures of men, their preference is for high testosterone men. Now, these aren't the men they know. These are just pictures of men, all right? That change of scent in the female, the fact that the ovulatory scent is missing, so the man is not in the dance, which again may lead to pornography. It's preventing menstrual cycling with other women. We're supposed to be cycling with other women. Well, that's all gone. The presence of the estrogen from the chemical contraceptive is becoming a wastewater management issue, as I said to you. Early and prolonged chemical contraceptive usage is linked to breast cancer very, very directly. All right. It reduces libido in women. That's a serious issue. Depo-Provera, which is the shot, is determined to reduce, demineralize, bones of adolescence. Well, that's a good one to give to teenagers because they don't have to remember to take the pill. What's this doing to our bodies in terms of long-term issues? It's very serious. The morning after pill, if used often, may cause fallopian tube motility failure, resulting in ectopic pregnancies. They don't tell us that either. Ectopic pregnancies are a serious issue, all right? Chemical contraceptives change the character of cervical mucus and may predispose women to contracting STDs. It changes our body, which would have been protecting us, and it isn't there anymore. The awareness of the complexity of what I've talked to you about, and I've only touched on some of this, but just let me, I'm going to read you very quickly a couple headlines from some articles. For instance, mother-child bond may prevent cancer. That has to do with those cells and the presence of the cells in the child from the mother. That question of microchimerism and what that does to our bodies as mothers, as daughters, that ongoing through the generations connection. Another article on the fact that sperm donor kids are not really all right. Sperm donor children really struggle with who is their father. And I'm just touching on some of these, but that's such a serious question because we're messing with so much of our reproductive ability at this point. We have all kinds of things going on. We have, you know, not only the sperm donors, we have, you know, the parents who are bearing a baby that's not theirs, surrogacy, for someone else. So the ovum and the sperm are put together, not meeting on their own, in a petri dish, all right? And now it's implanted into a third party, which is not related to them, who is going to carry cells from that baby the rest of her life. That baby is going to carry cells from that woman who carried them to birth the rest of their lives. What are we doing to our society? That's not how we're supposed to be made. We're supposed to be made as God intended it. Man, woman, love, the body, ovum picking the sperm, not the doctor picking the sperm. And we have all these sperm donors out there, who some of whom have there's one sperm donor out there in England who his sperm has been used to impregnate 600 women, all in the same country, whose children are now going to potentially be at least half related to each other. What is this going to do? Because this is a serious issue. This is a serious issue. Really serious. Because by, again, that scent thing, we would recognize that this is somebody, but would we know that we were related to them when we think that maybe this is somebody I might come to love? Okay? This is an interesting magazine. What doctors don't tell you. And this particular one has an incredibly long article on the dirty little pill. And it's just a medical assessment of the issues that are involved in terms of the pill, the fact that it affects our gut bugs, all right? The question, as I said earlier, of cancers, the question of brain change. There's a lot of stuff it's doing to our bodies, and nobody is telling us. And that is really very scary, okay? Now, a couple of other, just one brief thing here. There's an article. I won't go through the whole thing, but the title is 15 Ways Dad's Hormones Change During Pregnancy. 15. And it says, for instance, testosterone levels fall, prolactin rises, stress hormones are present, estradiol levels drop off, they're more caring and more nurturing, there's more progesterone, the hunger hormone is active, men tend to gain weight during pregnancy with their wives, they're more aggressive. There's a love hormone, this bonding thing, adrenal fatigue, anxiety, concern about this new life. The bottom line is that God has made us to be in relationship as He intended it, in marriage, man and woman, one partner. In our society now, because of the pill, so many of our girls have had multiple partners. It takes 6 months for our body to make the full adaptation to our mate. 6 months, okay? Now, you can get pregnant right away, but for all this chemistry that's happening, it takes 6 months. We have girls who have multiple partners. quickly. What is that doing to their bodies? We have got an epidemic of autoimmune diseases going on, and we can't put our fingers on what's exactly going on here, but it might be part of it, okay? That awareness that we are carrying with us, the material of our partners, we have that seminal fluid in our body that we're absorbing for 15 hours after an act of intercourse. People, for the most part, are not using condoms, okay? And I'm not saying I support them, because condoms screw up all kinds of chemistries. But we're being physiologically changed, and nobody tells us. The lies that are out there are so profound, and it's so important for you guys to hear what I had to say to you tonight, to recognize how awesomely we're made, that we women, if we're not contracepting, are in a dance together. We're getting our periods at the same time, because that is an old piece of our anthropology. And that men, that we're attracted by scent. And if you're not contracepting, you're attracting the right type of immune system. Now, you still have to figure out if he's worth it or not. Okay, first guy might not be worth it. You got to make good choices, all right? But the fact is that there's more than just falling in love as we see it on TV. That there are these layers here, okay? That importance of talking about parenting, the importance of couples being in a marriage, in a pregnancy together. We have to tell our men that. Our men in our society are so left out and so hurt by abortion and other things that it's important that we share these things. Now, again, you've only gotten a little bit of what I could be saying to you, all right? Father's in here, so we're at the end of this. On YouTube, there are a number of my talks on this, if you look for Vicki Thorne, and it'll be the biology, the theology, the body, what they didn't tell you in sex ed. And feel free to share those with other people, okay? Don't bother with the short ones. There are some that are edited that are like 20 minutes or 40 minutes. You're missing a lot of the material in there. But know that those are there as a resource for you. Hopefully, and this will be helpful for you, that you've learned some things. There are out there, there's a table with, I think, 5 books on it that I brought. Just don't steal my books, all right? But take a look at them in terms of, they're related to parts of my talk. There are some of my business cards there, and there are also prayer cards for people who've had abortions that you could pray for, okay? So I want to thank you, and, you know, I'll be around afterwards when we have our what do we have, treats, Father? Is that the deal? For questions or whatever. So thank you very much.